Tonight we want to look in Isaiah chapter 26, and I'll read to you two verses. Now, I will tell you, I got up early this morning and was just kind of looking over the message as I usually do. A lot of times I don't have time when I get home from work to look at a lot of things as far as to refresh. But I did this morning. I got up real early this morning and I was just thinking about that perfect peace that the Lord gives. But I will tell you, once I got to work, today was probably one of the most stressful days that I have encountered. It's been stressful, but today was an extra stressful day, and I kept thinking, are you doing this for a reason? You know, because of the different titles. You know, you've heard people say, don't pray for patience because the Lord will see you get it. Well, don't pray for peace either, okay? No, I'm picking. But I want to read to you a couple of verses of Scripture, and I hope tonight will be a help to us. Verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 26 says, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind stays on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, I want us to think about that verse as we you read a verse, and if you read it slow, the verse gives an outcome, but also gives something that we do. So when it talks about that perfect peace, notice what it says, whose mind stays on thee, who's our mind on? Our mind's on the Lord. But it also says, because he trusteth in thee. So there's a word that trust comes about. And then it repeats itself in verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So we have strength when we have peace. And when we have peace is when our mind stays on the Lord and it just works hand in hand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, we do lift up these requests of prayer. Lord, we know when someone deals with a sudden loss of a loved one, Lord, we know that there's so much uneasiness. Our minds go to, how did this happen? What happened? And so many things go through our minds. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this family and comfort this family. And Lord, for our folks of our church that continue to battle sicknesses, Lord, we know that by their testimony, they're trusting you. And Lord, help us just to continue to lift them up, and will you continue to strengthen them? We pray for the different ministries of our church. We pray for our pastor. We pray for our youth program. And Lord, we just lift our request up to you. And Lord, we think of the many that don't know Christ as our personal Savior. Lord, speak to their hearts. And Lord, we never ever want to ask you for something without thanking you for what you've already done. So Father, we thank you tonight. We ask your blessings on our service in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin our introduction by reading a passage of Scripture, a short passage found in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderations be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word peace is mentioned 429 times in the Scripture. In those 429 times, there's 400 verses. And I realize that there's several passages in the Scripture of the Old Testament. It talks about, you know, there's different kinds of peace. But I even think about when the birth of Jesus was announced. The great announcement comes by saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I think of in John 14:27, the Bible says, and this is the words of Jesus, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Again, that verse is kind of giving you something, but also telling you that there's things that we need to do. When he says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as of the world giveth." Now, what's that about the world? Does the world truly give you peace? It really does in a lot of ways. But it is a false sense of peace. If things are going your way, and our mindset says, if things are going our way and we're having a good day, then and things are going smoothly, then we have peace. I know my mother raising 6 children. If there wasn't someone arguing in the house, she was having a good day. But it could change at a moment's notice. And therefore that peace was short-lived. And it seems like that we nowadays, and it's no different, it just seems like it's more escalated. And I wondered sometimes if some of the escalation of what we're dealing with isn't because the news and such makes it more escalated. Because there's been bad people forever. And there's been bad things happen. But it seems like, you know, and I remember, you know, news used to be at 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock, and that was the only, maybe in the mornings. But now it's like, who starts their news the earliest to tell you all the bad news? So I wonder sometimes if we're not surrounded by gloom and depression and stress just because of the environment and the acceleration of news. I mean, how long, 50 years ago, how long would it have been before we would have heard there was a shooting in Texas? Whereas you can see it live now. And sometimes I go back to that verse where it says, "Whose mind stays on thee." And our mind is pulled in so many directions and in so many things, it causes us to take our mind off of the Lord, and therefore we lose some of that peace because of the things that's happening. And when we lose some of that peace in our own minds, because the enemies of peace, and there is an enemy of peace, just like Satan is going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Whereas Jesus come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. You see the contrast there? So Jesus offers peace, but Satan offers turmoil. And you look at the airways and you look at all these things that's happening, and it's amazing. But when the enemies of peace are around us, then what does it do in our life? It causes doubt. It causes fear. It causes worry. And I've mentioned this before, but it causes the big what ifs. What if this happens? Or what if that happens? Or what if the doctor says this? Or what if my daughter or my son does this? Or what? It's the what ifs. A robber of peace. All these things take peace away. We have all been around long enough to understand that troubles are going to come in our life. There's no way around it. Troubles are going to, you look through the scriptures and you see troubles coming people's way. So that's nothing new. And we also have been around long enough to where there's wars all around us. There's trials that come. We can start a day, we can start a week off and things are going well. And then before the end of the week, there's some kind of a trial that we're facing. We also understand that temptations come because we all fall subject to possible temptations in our life. Of course, we all understand that tears come because there's hurts. losses, and bereavement. So we know that these things happen. And we know that these things come. So how can we have peace? How can we have peace through all these things? We can experience peace. The Scripture tells us again, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stays on thee because he trusteth in thee. I want us to focus on two words, because there's a lot of hindrances in peace. And there's a lot of things that can come in our life that can cause turmoil. But there's two things that come to my mind that kind of work hand in hand with every situation. And it's two words. Doubt and trust. And they mean very similar to the same things. But in every situation, when we're going through trials, when we're going through troubles, when we're going through difficult times in our life, doubt and trust. I go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And I go back to that. The Bible says, and the peace of God in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But what does it say before? Be careful for nothing. We need to pray. Seek thanksgiving or give thanksgiving. We make our requests known. We rejoice because, you know, and I don't know if you've ever rejoiced over prayer before, but that's something to rejoice about because that we can pray. But when we think of this passage of Scripture, here in Philippians chapter 4, if we drop down a few more verses to verse 9, and I'll just read it to you. Notice when I read this what it says. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What have we learned? What have we received? What have we heard? I've talked to people before that's struggling and you try to be an encouragement to them. And when someone is really, really, really hurting and they're really struggling with whatever situation that they're in, many times they already know what you're getting ready to say. If you tell them, hey, the Lord's going to take care of you, they know. If you quote them a Bible verse, they most likely have already quoted it in their mind themselves. And when a person is struggling, and especially Christians, it's like we know what we need to do and we know what we need to apply, but sometimes we have to figure it out in our own minds and we have to apply it to ourselves. And there's been times, and I remember when my father passed away suddenly, And I was 19 years old. I thought I had the world in the palm of my hand, and I had all these things that was going on, and I knew that I wasn't where I needed to be in my relationship with the Lord. But it took several months for God to use what I already knew and start applying it. That's the reason I read that verse in Philippians with dealing with peace. The things which we have learned and received and heard and in me, seen in me, do. So for us to experience peace, there's a word do there. And there's things that we need to do. And I go back to Isaiah 26 verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind stays on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Where does doubt come? Doubt comes from lack of trust. Doubt comes from lack of trust. So tonight I would like to share with you just a few thoughts to try to build our trust to where we can experience that perfect peace. What an invitation. What an invitation to have that perfect peace. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stays on thee. So let's think about this just for a minute. There is an offering of, I want to call it a quality peace. A quality peace which brings a calmness. There's a quality peace. Many of you know that the fair is going on right now in Winston-Salem. And many years ago, Darla and I, we were married. We was probably only married. Marshall hadn't been born yet, so we were only married probably a year or two when we went to the fair. And I don't like heights. I just don't like them. But they talked me into getting on a Ferris wheel. And that's that great big wheel that goes way up. And for whatever reason, they keep stopping. And when they stop, it starts doing this. Well, I don't like heights. And I told them, and it was big enough to where Darla's mom and daddy was in it, and me and Darla and Scott. And so there's a big pole in the middle that was what it was hanging with. And so I had told everybody, I'll get on it, but leave me alone. And so when we started up, I was okay about the first 10, 15 feet. And then when we got way up to the top and, you know, Darlin, Scott and Jerry was just, look, I can see this. I didn't want to look. I wanted to look at that pole right in the middle that I was holding on to, and I put finger marks in this pole. Well, Darla's mama was right there with me. So she was on one side and I was on the other, and we were holding on to this pole. And Scott was an agitator, and so he kept poking me. Look. And I told him, I said, stop. And when you're afraid, you cannot control what's getting ready to happen. And so he kept agitating. And I finally grabbed a hold of his hand and squeezed it, and I didn't care if it broke or not, because I got tired of that finger poking me. And so, I did hurt him, because when we got off, his hands was like this. But the peace that I had, and it was the only peace that I had, was in that pole that I was holding on to. But in reality, if it would have fell off, I could have held on to that pole all day long, but we're all going down. Think about that in relation to the peace that the world offers. It's a false peace. And we're grabbing on to whatever we can grab on to give us just a little bit of a sense of peace. Just something. Just something. Anything that we can grab on to. Just a sense of something. When you're waiting for an outcome that a doctor is giving you, your mind is just racing, especially if it's a possibility of an outcome, and your mind's just racing, and you're grabbing on to any kind of little bit of something that you can grab onto that the world offers. But it doesn't last. Because it can come tumbling down in a moment's notice. So the only peace that we can, that can bring calmness is the peace that's offered by the Lord. That's the only calmness that we, and that's why I called it quality peace. Because there's a quality in His peace. The world offers an imperfect peace. Something like, I'm going to think positive about this. I'm going to think positive about this situation. And I don't hear as much about it as you used to hear, but it's the they call it the power of positive thinking. You know, we can think positive about just about anything, but don't mean it's going to happen. There's a girl that I work with, and she's one of these individuals that she thinks if you think good about things, then good things are going to happen. And it's almost like the outcome of situations are based upon how you think about other things. In other words, it's kind of that she calls it good vibes, and she's sincere, and she says, "I'm gonna send you some good vibes today." Well, I don't know what happened today. I'll talk to her about it tomorrow. Because there's a wall between us, and I guess it stopped there on the wall somewhere. But you know, that's that imperfect peace that the world offers. But what about that perfect peace that the Scripture talks about? You see, there's an offering for that quality peace. It reminds me of, we talk about calmness. And we talk about the calm of a storm. And how the waters are calm. Do you realize that calm water is not always a good thing? My grandpa taught me, because we had a well house, or he did, and we used to have a dipper, and I used to love to go with him to the well, and he had a little metal piece of sheet metal that covered it, and he had a dipper hanging on a tree limb. And I'd always say, "Grandpa, let's go get some water." And he would pull it up, and there'd be two or three lizards in the bottom. And he's, "Oh, they'll be all right." And so we would dip water, some of the best water. But there was always a little bit of a current in this well house. And he told me, he says, "If the water ever stands still, don't drink it." Because it's getting stagnated. It's getting, so don't drink it. So sometimes the calmness in our life isn't always a good thing. What happens when things are so calm in our life? We have a tendency to forget to pray. We have a tendency to forget to thank the Lord. We have a tendency to, well, this isn't happening in my life, so everything's going my way. And we just have a tendency to take for granted life itself. And so we have to beware of the calmness, because calm is not always the best thing. Because there's a stagnation that's under the water. And if you drink it, it's poison. And if we take our eyes off of the Lord, it's a poison to our peace. The Lord offers, the world offers that imperfect peace, and things change around us. I mean, think of how many things changed today. How many of you did exactly what you set out to do today and nothing changed? Very few. If you say everything went my way, everything went perfectly, no aches or pains, you just must not have had much on your plate. But the world offers that imperfect dependence, and that's the things that are around us. But God offers so much more. God offers so much more. There's a passage of Scripture that I think of in the New Testament in Mark chapter 4. Verses 35 and following, and the Bible says, "In the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side." This is the Lord Jesus talking. And when they, when he had sent them away, the multitude, he took him even as he was in the ship, and they were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and saith unto him, now look at what they're saying to Jesus. Carest thou not that we perish? The one who was getting ready to give his life so that we wouldn't perish. They asked him that great question. And he arose and rebuked the winds and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? You remember I said the lack of peace comes from the lack of trust? Were they lacking in their trust? Were they doubting? How I said that doubt and trust kind of works hand in hand. And so they were doubting. And he even asked them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have not faith? Again, faith is part of that. The Bible says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the winds and seas obey him? So they were just learning who Jesus was. But when they said the words, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Doubt came and the lack of trust came. But when Jesus said, peace be still, that was a quality peace. That was something that was real in their lives. It was real that they got to experience it. It was real. And the thing about it is, it was exactly what they needed to be able to experience that the peace that Jesus gives. So it was exactly what they needed. And the reason that I know it was exactly what they needed is because he's the one that sent them there. The Bible says, let us pass over to the other side. So Jesus is the one that sent them there. But he had a lesson to teach them. He had something that was to teach them. I'll go back to Philippians 4 verse 7, the Bible says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And you remember what I said in verse 9? The things that we learned, the things that we see, received, the things that we heard, this is what we do, and the peace of God shall be with you. They're learning. They're learning on that ship. They're learning that true peace comes from the Lord. It's not in the artificial things that the world has to offer. With that quality peace that he gives, must come trust. And it's no different from us today. We have to trust him. And when we trust him, it doesn't mean we have to understand everything. Because we're not. We're not going to understand everything. I remember growing up, there's things that I did not understand why we did the things that we did growing up. But I had my parents to trust in. And I know, you know, there was some disappointments. But I also know that they did everything that they could within their power. And think of it as you and your children and how you would do anything for them to try to help them. But he loves us so much more. A great calmness. It passes all understanding. Notice what it says. You see, we're not going to understand everything, but the great calmness that he gives will pass all understanding. It's always the same. That perfect peace. So how does peace come with us? Well, it begins with Jesus Christ. We must have that relationship with Jesus Christ. If we don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, then there's so many things that won't ever be understood. When you're talking to someone, and you're talking to them, well, I'm going to pray for you. And it's kind of amazing, and you probably experienced this as well, but it's kind of amazing. Some of the people that watch you and that know you, do you know somebody that knows you better than anyone? We say, well, our family knows us better. But I'll give you one more. The people we have worked with and the people that we work with know us better than anyone else because they see us. The people that are around us see us. So when people come to you, and it's happened to me a number of times, someone will come and someone will say, Can you pray about this? And it's people that trust you enough to pray. And so there must be a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it opens up a door to talk to someone. And so we must have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him that reconciled all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be the things on earth and the things in heaven. So our true peace comes through Jesus Christ. It comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood makes the difference. So we must have a relationship with him. As we continue in this peace, then we must have the Word. We must have the Word of God. And we see this in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 165. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Our peace comes from the Word of the Lord and the love of the Word. If I was to ask you a question tonight, can we trust God's Word? Every one of you would nod your head and say yes. But has there ever been any time in your life that you've doubted? As we study God's Word, we are reminded just who He is and how much He loves us. Sometimes we talk to others when we're going through a difficult time, and as much as our friends want to help us, do you know our friends are, even though they help us and they mean well, did you know our friends are not the ones that have the final say? I'll give you an example of that in the Bible. When Job was struggling with his difficulties, his friends came to his rescue, as some might think. But his friends, if you read much of it at all, his friends was one of the biggest hindrances that there were. Because the friends don't know what God knows. So it's important to have friends, and it's important to talk, because sometimes you just need to kind of get it off your chest. But we can't trust our friends the way that we trust God, because God is the one that helps us. Another way to experience this peace and this continued peace and this perfect peace is simply being obedient. And I'll give you a prime example. In your household, whether you are a parent or a child, you could work both ways. When a child is obedient, things are good. When you were growing up, if you wasn't, for you that had brothers and sisters, if you weren't fussing with your brothers and sisters and everybody was getting along, life was good. And the mom and dad was happy. And you that had children, look, we had one child, and I thank God for him. But Scott Milne has four. There's no peace. Obedience. Just being obedient to Him. And then I can't help but say this. Peace comes through prayer. And thank God for prayer. My goodness. There's sometimes that you just don't know what to say. And you just talk to the Lord. And it don't have to, we know the elements of prayer. We know the thanksgiving. You know the honor that we give the Lord because of who He is, and we honor Him and hallowed be Thy name. And then we come to Him with thanksgiving. And then we come to Him with our request or our concerns or our burdens. And the Bible tells us there's nothing wrong with coming to Him with our burdens, because the Bible says that we can cast our care upon Him because He cares for us. So we know that. But sometimes when you don't know what to say or even how to say it, you just start talking to Him. Just like you would talk to a friend or a close relationship with someone. You just start talking to them. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for those times. And sometimes you just need to let it out. Because when we hold things in, then that's when the lack of trust and the doubt comes. When we hold them in and we start thinking about the what ifs, and we start thinking about the possibilities, and you start thinking about all those things. But I go back to what the scripture said in the beginning, that our minds must stay on Him. It doesn't mean that every waking moment we're going to be thinking, because we know, let me put it this way. If you're gazing into the skies and to the heavens and you're talking to the Lord, please don't drive. And if you do, let me know and I won't drive. Okay, so we know that we have to still do life. But in the midst of doing life, experience that peace. Because I used to say when I was growing up, I can't wait till I'm this age, or wait till I'm this age. And, when I was a teenager, I can't wait till I'm 16, because I can get out and be free. And then I realized I had to pay for the gas that was in the vehicle. And then I'm not peace anymore, because I'm thinking, where am I going to get that $5? $5 won't even do anything now, but back in the day it did. And then I was thinking, when I graduated school, all things are going to be great. And then I had to get up at 6 o'clock to go to work. And whereas school, they gave you breaks and they did this thing, at work, you have to work. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, we say, I can't wait till this happens or that happens. And before you know it, life is about gone. So our challenge tonight is experience that perfect peace in life now. Because there's joy. There's joy even in the midst of all the things that's taking place. There's joy. If our minds stay on Him and not on the things around us. Because the things around us are going to come and go. Doubt. And trust. And if our mind stays on Him, there's going to be fewer doubts and more trust. And that's our challenge tonight. That perfect peace thank God for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And thank you for how you help us in so many ways. And sometimes, Lord, as hard as it is for us to say it, thank you for life and the challenges in life, because it causes us to draw closer to you. Help us, Lord, to experience that perfect peace. And what an invitation that you give us. And we know that it begins with our relationship with Jesus, but it continues through Jesus. And help us to have our minds stay on you. We ask that you bless this invitation, and Lord, if there's someone that just wants to come and talk to you, we invite them to come, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jim.